watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right, looking for a ray of hope.
Cause going All right, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's stand and sing.
Stone.
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. In Psalm 95, verse 3, we read, "The Lord is the great God. He is the great King." Let's sing, "Come Thou Almighty King," page 267. Sing the first, second, and last verse. Amen. Rain on next hymn is not in our hymnal, but I think you know it. Blessed be the name. Page 385, singing Near the Cross, first, third, and last verse.
This morning we have a special Sunday as we are recognizing our 2023 graduates from these local schools and career centers, and we're very grateful. We've had a powerful week already at Assurance Baptist Church, our Vacation Bible School, ended on Wednesday, so it started a week ago. It doesn't seem like it was a week ago today. And we had five kids saved at that Vacation Bible School, which is a blessing. Amen. And then yesterday, we had our first ever youth rally. Myself and Brother Jaden and a young man named Phil Klausner came in, an evangelist, and spoke. And we saw three teens get saved yesterday at that youth revival. So wonderful week of young people getting saved. And we invest in and believe very much in our young folks here at Assurance Baptist Church, our teens, our children. Lots of children over there this morning and nursery age students as well. So we're so glad that you've come to be here with us this morning. We do want to recognize our first-time guests and visitors. If this is your very first time here at Assurance Baptist Church, would you raise your hand? Our trustees are prepared with a gift. Here's some right there. One fellas, Brother Bud right there. And then right here. Jay by Tony there. And so we are excited to have you all here with us. And Sydney needs one, too. She was here yesterday, but she wasn't here at a other regular service. So we need one more up front. Getting together today and having this opportunity to witness what God's doing in these young people's lives. Isn't it exciting? And we really do want to invest and put our efforts behind that. So thank you for being with us here today, if it's your first time. And if it's your second, third, or thousandth time being here, thank you for being here too. We're glad to have you today. Right here, Brother AJ, Miss Sydney up here as well. So glad. We are going to have our youth pastor and assistant pastor, Brother Brandon Black, behind me here. He's going to come in just a moment and introduce those graduates that are here today. Some aren't here, but we're very proud of all of them. We're going to recognize them with a gift. And then at the end of that, a special presentation from our deacons, and then we'll have our special message. All right, Brother Brandon, are you prepared? All right.
All right. Oh, that was loud. Well, I'd like to say thanks again. I thank the youth, but just the parents as well. Not everybody could drive, but getting the youth there yesterday at the youth revival was just an amazing experience, and even having Brother Phil for the first time preaching here, and it was just a wonderful experience. But like Preacher said, we got a few seniors this time. This is our first time, I believe, in Assurance Baptist history as far as seniors graduating. But if I can have Keturah Furjust come up, she is studying at University of Dayton for psychology. And then, if I could have, next person is Raven Knoth. She is studying at St. Clair Community College for dental hygiene. And then, I didn't see her this morning, but we have another senior, Sherita Wortman. She's studying at St. Clair Community College as well for early childhood education. And then we also have Trinity Crum. I didn't see her, but I saw her dad here. She's studying at St. Clair Community College as well for radiology. And then Paul Hackney Jr. He's doing what I would do. I'm not a school person, but he's working for the Greene County for the mowing team and doing whatever they have him do. I think yours is actually over here. There we go.
Thank you.
Yes. Next one is Grayson Thompson. He's studying at Edison State Community College for Social Work Services. And then, last but not least, Logan Williams. He's going to St. Clair Community College to study for Culinary Arts. Right here. I'll move my stuff. So at this time, if I can have Deacon Strode and Deacon Harris come up, they started something this year since we had so many seniors to do a scholarship, and they'll explain it more in detail as far as how all that works. Guys?
I want to give you a little bit of history of how this all came about. Brother Phil and I met, and we both feel that we are so blessed with our children that we have, starting with those in the nurseries hearing their little babbles and hearing the squealing from the youth fellowship and on up to the teens. But there reaches a point where they're no longer children, they're no longer teenagers, but they're young adults. And oh my, what a big step that is. Well, to mark that big step, we thought that we would start a scholarship and meeting the certain qualifications, and we have two seniors that have met those, that have applied and met those qualifications. We would like for them to come forward. Meanwhile, Phil, would you like to say a couple words?
Sure. Starting this, we just felt that it was something that it would be good for us to acknowledge them and for their hard work. But the two that are selected, they did very well in their school. And if you don't believe me, you can ask their parents. So we want to give this scholarship, and not only for acknowledgement for their hard work, but to help them in their future. And also to let them know that by us honoring them, their hard work is honoring God. Amen. So we'd like to, go ahead, brother.
Raven Knuth, will you come forward, please? And Grayson Thompson.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Deacon Scholarship this year, Brother Ch- they decided that they to bless these young children. So we are looking forward to, let's have a word of prayer, and then Miss Olivia will have our special. Father God, we say thank you so much for this day you've given us. Lord, we ask that you would bless this service, Lord. You'd bless each and every one of these students as they have graduated from their respective fields of school or trade and now move into the world, Lord, that can be so harsh and so cruel, but also full of opportunity. Lord, we're looking forward today to you being in their lives daily, to you, Lord, having reign in their lives. Father, wherever they go, wherever their education or career path would take them, that you would always protect them inside of your hedge of protection. That you would bless them, Lord, that they would always seek your face. And in seeking your face, they would have all of your power, your might, your wisdom, your strength, your honor, your dignity, your grace. And that they would glorify our Father, which is in heaven in all things. Father, we ask today a special protection over their parents and siblings as this new part of life has begun. That you would also help them to stand by as witness and as partners in strength in helping to make sure that they would grow and that they would have all the blessings that you have out before them, that we would support them in each and every one of those endeavors. Father, we ask that our church would rise up and then support these young people as they move to this new place. This is the very first class at Assurance Baptist Church that in the fall we will offer a college and career class that they are welcome to come into in Sunday school and stay partnered with the local church. And so, Father, we're praying for that ministry and for all of us to, as a local church, to rally around them, support them, and guide them the best that we know how. Father, we ask that you would do these things today. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and let the church say, amen. Thank you, Sister Olivia. A very appropriate song for those youth that just graduated. Send me, Lord, send me. Send me into the world and let me be a missionary for you. Amen. We have a very special and distinguished guest here this morning as well. And so she's here not because of us, but because she's going to have her first grandchild. And so we want to thank Mother McInerney for being here. Sister Teresa McInerney, my training pastor's wife, the First Lady of Bible Baptist Church Savannah. And their daughter, my friend Kerrigan. It's debatable whether Kerrigan believes that we're friends or not, but She's my friend. And so good to have you guys here with us this morning as well. And so special. And then again, Keturah and your family, thank you so much. Keturah has been with us at our Northmont Bible study, Salt and Light, for several years now, and is our first ever graduate from that Bible study we started at Northmont High School to come here from that Bible study. And so she was at our youth revival yesterday, is going to camp with us. And so that's really exciting to see reaching into the community that way and seeing someone come into the church like that. That's just a blessing to us. And so thank you for being here this morning. We are looking today at God Will Make a Way. God Will Make a Way, part two. At the conclusion of service today, we have two to be baptized, and so I won't take much time, but I'm going to take some time. Now, the better you are, the better I'll be. What do I mean by that? Well, the more you respond and act like you care about what the Word of God says, the quicker this will go. Now, if you act like a bunch of slugs and you're lazy about this and you don't want to have a Holy Ghost party, I'll drag this thing out as long as if you get up, you'll be the unspiritual one. When people see you walking out, they say they couldn't handle all the preaching. I'll just keep on preaching until it's 11:08, says my clock. Now, I'll never look at it again. But we'll just take it out to about 12:08 if you mess with me. All right, now listen. I can be your best friend or your worst enemy today. Let's see how this goes. God will make a way. Look, they try to get out of here on time. You hear them? Ain't been that many amens in a month. I'll tell you that right now. Man, oh man, you guys. Martin Luther, the leader, the cornerstone of the Protestant Reformation, wrote that doubt is the monster of uncertainty. He also said that doubt is also the gospel of despair. Martin Luther King Jr., his namesake, said at his great message at the March on Washington, out of the mountain of despair, a stone of hope. I heard one preacher preach out of this text, and he says that this text is the crossroads of hope and despair. Here in Mark chapter 9, we're going to be looking in the 14th verse in just a moment, we find a father who is in despair and doubt. Jesus is returning from Mount Tabor, from the Mount of Transfiguration with James and John and Peter. And as they return, they come upon a multitude, and there are scribes arguing with the other nine apostles. This is where we pick up our text today, the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, verse 14. If you're able, stand with me as we'll read several verses. Mark gives us the most detailed account. He doesn't use the word demon, but for our purposes today, I'm going to use the word demoniac, just understanding so everybody can get this really clearly. They're going to meet this demoniac boy, this boy filled with the spirit of a devil. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, remembering three were already with him, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. They're arguing with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, basically Jesus says, what are you arguing about? What question are you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. I got two sons with dumb spirits. But that's not what they were talking about. That's not what, I take that back. They couldn't speak. He couldn't speak or hear. But, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. He's grinding his teeth. It's a hard thing when somebody grinds their teeth, isn't it? But here we see when they teareth him, it means literally that they are pulling him and pushing this young guy down into epileptic seizures or convulsions. And pineth away means he's withering away. His health is fading from him. And I spake to the disciples, and they could not cast him out, if they could cast him out, and they could not. And he answering him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Jesus, always kind, but not always nice. If you translate that in our culture, Jesus says, how long do I got to put up with y'all? He said, bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. He goes back into this convulsion. When it sees Jesus, he gets one last convulsion in on this boy, and he falls on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. He's been like this all his life. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, if I have any one or two witnesses today, watch what Jesus says. Jesus says, that the Father says, if you're able to do anything, if you're able to help us, and Jesus says, no. If you're able to believe, then all things are possible. Oh, I love that part. So they go on, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter in no more. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. They got away from the crowd, and they said, why couldn't we do that? Why could we not cast out that devil? And he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Father God, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We ask today that you would bless it, the reading of it, and the honoring of it today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This mute, pining away, withering away, this epileptic seizures that have been taken over his body by this demonic spirit. The father is in great despair and doubt, and he says, if you're able to do anything about this, Jesus, help us out. But Jesus says, no, if you're able to believe, all things are possible. In verse 24, we see the father says, help mine unbelief. You know, faith is not always perfect, is it? Just because there's faith present doesn't mean that the faith is a perfect faith. Crudality means believing in something without examination. Many Christians are guilty of crudity. They just believe because someone told them. But the truth of the Word of God is you need to examine your faith. You need to know why you believe what you believe. That's how cults are formed, when you just jump into something and you didn't understand. And the truth about God is people say, well, you shouldn't question God. No, God doesn't mind your questions because God already knows the answers. I've never worried about anybody asking me a question when I knew the answer. I tell you today, God will make a way. God will make a way in despair, number one. God will make a way in despair. In verse 18, we see in our text, the father is in great despair. He says, wherever so he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He knew that they were the disciples of Jesus that had been out healing and casting out devils, but this type of demon they couldn't cast out. So he's in great despair. I've done all I can. I'm going to talk to somebody this morning. I've done all I can with this disobedient child of mine. I've done all I can with these co-workers of mine. I've done all I can in my marriage. I've done all I can with this cancer. I've done all I can, but I want you to remember the contrast. Jesus has just come from Mount Tabor. He's just come from the mountaintop experience. And now we find ourselves in a valley. And in this valley, there's an argument. There's a problem going on. You know, Jesus and the three are coming back from the mountaintop experience. And directly they arrive in this valley where the demoniac spirit is. That's why on Sundays we ought to cry hallelujah. Why on Wednesday nights we ought to show up and get a little excited about church. You say, Pastor, why do you always harp on so many services? Because that's the mountaintop experience for a Christian. We got to get together and celebrate the Lord and enjoy the mountaintop because the valley is sure enough in your future. Monday all hell breaks loose after the mountaintop experience on Sunday. before you can even get out of the parking lot, some of these hellish people right beside you today are going to cause you a little problem and bring you right back into the valley. We better celebrate on the mountaintop because the valley is coming. And in that despair, you lose all hope. You lose all sense of understanding. Despair is certainly something that we could all understand. It's the complete absence of hope. When the world comes at you, you lose all hope. How can this happen? How can I get this child to behave this way? How can I get my life back in order? How can I get my spouse to do this or do that? How can I get the church folks to stop talking bad about me? How, you're in despair. You've lost all hope. And that's when doubt creeps in. Number two, God will make a way in doubt. Doubt is uncertainty or lack of conviction. It's a lack of faith or belief. A faith, but a weak faith. A burdened parent, employee, health patient, spouse this morning says, Pastor, I'm telling you, I've tried my best, and I doubt anything can be done to about it. I've brought them to church. I've raised them in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. I've prayed. I've talked to the counselor, the therapist, but they're still devilishly disobedient, and I'm brokenhearted. I doubt you can fix it. I just doubt it can be fixed. I've tried everything. We've exhausted all of our resources. They talk back, they're disobedient. The devil dresses them and the demon stole their tongue, and there's nothing we can do about it. God got you questioning, any parents out there like this today, God got you questioning whether you brought the right baby home from the hospital. You going down to the government center and you want to check the birth certificate and say, it looks like me and it sounds like me, but it don't act like me. If something's wrong, this can't be my child. You might have adopted somebody, and you're looking at saying, was this the child we were supposed to bring home from the adoption agency? Because we raised them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We've done everything we can to train them up, as the Bible says, and I'm doubting it can be fixed. But God will make a way. The Father said, oh, your disciples, they couldn't do it. I doubt it can be done. If you can help us, if you're able to help us, then help us. But if you're not, we're just going to have to keep on living this way. And Jesus, I love it because Jesus hit him right in the head with it. No. You're asking the wrong question. See, a lot of times, I remember this when Sarah Palin was running as vice president, CNN anchor said, it's not that she doesn't know the answer to the question. It's that she doesn't understand the question. Sometimes, Christian, we don't understand the question. Jesus wasn't asking, he wasn't telling this man, bring him to me, because he was saying, I can't do anything, let me see what I can do. He was saying, no, just bring him to me, I can fix this. And so when he says, oh, if you're able, Jesus says, no, if you're able to believe, if you're able to stand up, if you're able to clap your hands and stomp your feet and shout a little bit and just expect God to do it, then it's already done. Amen. See, I see this as an understanding that even though doubt and despair are present, we've got a great God and he's able. You question yourself, how can I fix this marriage? Maybe you can't. Maybe there's a demonic spirit that's in that thing, but God can. You say, how are you able? God, if you're able, and God said, don't you know that I already said what God has put together, let no man put asunder. So if I put it together, I'm able to keep it together. Problem is, we run to everybody else. It amazes me. I live with a psychologist, but it amazes me everybody's a psychologist today. They're using these psychological terms. Everybody got smart all of a sudden. For years and years and years, the psychology that we needed was based in our theology. But now all of a sudden, we got all these terms. They're gaslighting, toxic masculinity. Guess what? If you want to call me a toxic male because I believe a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, call me that all you want. But I'll always stand upon the word of God, and God says there's two sexes, man and woman, and that's all there is. Call me toxic masculinity. Call me mean. Call me what you want. But God said it. I believe it. He says, Bryson, if you're able to believe it, then it shall be done. And I believe that what God says is true and what every man says is a lie. I want you to understand that sometimes you doubt, God, how can it be so? God, are you able? And God's looking at you and going, I already know the answer because I wrote the test. See, then there's something that happens here in verse 28 and 29. And here's where the message really is and how God will make a way. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples, now the boy's been risen up. They thought he was dead. And Jesus said, take my hand. Get on up now, boy. Don't go back into him no more. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast them out? Jesus, why couldn't we do it? We've been around. We've been healing all kinds of people. We've been casting all kinds of devils. Why couldn't we do it? Jesus said unto them, well, this kind come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. See, the apostles, those other nine, took for granted the power given to them. They took for granted there was a lack of prayer and remembrance that the power was in Jesus. While Jesus is up having a mountaintop experience, they're over here thinking that they were doing something in their own power. Do you know we're just like it? We think we get so big in our Christianity, we get so big in our works that we forget about faith and we think we're doing something. And that's right when you'll find yourself in doubt and despair. That's right when you'll find yourself not being able to do it. And then you look at Jesus and say, oh, I wasn't able to do it. Are you able to do it? And Jesus says, it's already done, but all I needed you to do is realize you couldn't do it. So number three, God will make a way in the debriefing. In the debriefing. See, there's a special meeting that takes place. When I worked at the sheriff's office, we would have shift change. When third shift was getting off shift, first shift was coming in, we would communicate with each other what had happened on the last shift and what needed to get done on the next shift. Same thing when first shift got off and second shift came in. We'd have a question and answer session. Did such and such do this? Why is such and such in the hole? Did such and such get their medicine? Is such and such allowed to have recreation? The person in admin seg, did they get their meal? Did this person get their envelopes? Did this pod get their sell their letters? We have to communicate in order to know what's going on. There's a debriefing. Strong Christians have strong questions. Let me say it again. Strong Christians have strong questions. The more mature you are in your faith, the better questions you ask, and the better questions you ask, the better answers you're going to get. Jesus can only do so much with our little feeble minds. But the more you know about the Word of God, the more Word of God that's in you, he can begin to stretch your faith and use you in ways that you didn't even know you could be used. So he says, hey, listen. You can't just cast these out in your own things. God has given me the ability to be an orator, but I can't sit up here and preach without the power of God. I might give you something, and it might be entertaining. It might be something that you like to hear, but it won't have any power behind it unless the Holy Spirit has anointed it. There's nothing in it. It's hollow. It's vain religion unless the Holy Spirit has empowered it. So he says, hey, listen, you can't do this without prayer and fasting. This message is nothing if I never prayed over it, if I didn't fast over it. Some of you probably tried to call me this weekend, and sometimes I got to turn my phone off, and I just got to fast and get away from that because I'm concentrating. Because I believe that when I preach a message like this, if I want something to get done, there's got to be some prayer and some fasting to happen. I believe that when we preach at the youth revival, if we preach at VBS, if we want something to happen, there's got to be some prayer and some fasting. I could stand up here. I've thrown six VBSs. The church ain't even 5 years old. Me and Brother Brandon, I could do VBS all by myself, and but it wouldn't have the same power as when the body comes together and we got servants here and servants there, people making snow cones, people writing skits, people in the sound booth, people over here jumping up and down in weird costumes. It wouldn't have the same power. Jesus, 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 Jesus. If you wasn't at VBS, you don't know. You don't know. You missed it. It's not coming back, but I love it. Yeah, if you missed it, you just missed it. I can't fix it for you. Don't have the same power as when we're a forceful unit. He says, these can only be cast out with prayer and fasting, friends. See, prayer is going to be talking to God. Sometimes the only way God's going to make a way is when you show that you're serious about wanting the way to be made. It proves to God our determination, sincerity, sacrifice about the matter to see God's will accomplished. Prayer is talking with God, asking questions with God, and getting answers from God. And when we do that, we see how God will do it or how he has already done it or if he's going to do it at all. Because sometimes the answer is no. Fasting is trusting, not doubting, in faith that God will sustain you, that God will take care of it. I say, sometimes I fast from sweets, and it hurts me, it pains me deeply. When I say, this week I won't have any double-decker fudge rounds. I'm still waiting for Little Debbie to make the triple-decker. Boy, when that thing comes out, I'll be at the gas station early in the morning, right? Or as soon as the truck gets off, I'll say, yes, sir. those were for me. Let's put those right in my car here. I'm not, you know, I'll pay for them right out the thing. Cut out the middleman. Sometimes I got to fast, but I got to trust that God will cure my sweet tooth for that week. That the sweetest name I know is enough sweets for me for the whole week. Sometimes I got to fast from the nectar of God, Diet Mountain Dew. Sometimes I got to put that bottle down and say, no, it's got to be water this week. And I say, God, how are you going to sustain me? And God said, add a little lemon to that water for a little flavor. And I've gotten to the point where I love lemon water. Now, when I go to a Mexican restaurant, what do I always say, Brother Brandon? If you don't have a lime, it's not a real Mexican restaurant. I need a lime for that water. They say, okay. If they don't have a lime, I get up and leave. This ain't Mexican. I can get a lime at Taco Bell. But when I need nothing in the world, or no phone or communication, or I need to fast from something, I need to put things away, I'm trusting, not doubting, that God is able to make a way for that fast. You know, I debated whether I was going to say this morning, but I feel led today. And I'm probably going to offend some of you that are just so staunch Baptists that you won't understand this, but if you listen to me, you're going to understand this. You know what we really need in the Baptist church more than anything when it comes to faith? We need a charismatic faith. Listen to what I'm about to say. You know how I feel about the charismatic church. I'm not asking you to roll on the ground or foam at the mouth or do what this demoniac was doing. That's devilish stuff. I ain't talking you to speak in tongues. We're not talking about that foolishness. We're not talking about that. But now, the foolishness of preaching is how people get saved, but I believe the foolishness of faith is how we see things get done. And one thing the charismatics do is they believe in the Holy Spirit. The Baptist church is really good at lifting up the Father and the Son, but if the Holy Spirit gets loose, we get a little nervous. We're afraid somebody's going to call us Bapticostal. We're afraid that they're going to say that we're charismatics. But the Holy Spirit is God. He's just as powerful and equal to the Father and the Son. And every once in a while, we need to let go. I'm not saying you got to cut loose and scream hallelujah and amen. There's nothing wrong with that. And it'd be nice if you did that other one the preacher said would get out sooner if you do it. But I'm saying this. It's okay to let the Holy Spirit have reign in your life. But this is what I know about the charismatics. The charismatics be believing stuff. They haven't examined it. There's no crudality. They just believe God's going to do it. Stupid stuff that's not even going to happen. They just believe they get saved and they're going to start speaking in tongues. They believe that. You know what it is? It may be a foolish faith, but it's a type of faith. But Baptists, we get into a prayer circle, but we're praying, we're saying these things with our word, but we're not actually believing that God's going to do it. We're saying, oh, they got cancer, and how is that going to be healed? It's terminal. There's nothing terminal for God. Oh, they might die, but to see the charismatic, they're believing it's going to happen the whole way through. And when it happens and it doesn't happen the way they want to, on the other side of that, they realize this. The answer wasn't in medicine. The answer wasn't in life. The answer was always in God. And they're satisfied with that. The charismatics, see, the charismatic church, they got us beaten when it comes to faith and certain things. They standing over dead bodies really thinking they're going to raise them from the dead. And we call that foolish, we call that crazy, but the reality of the word of God is if you had faith as the size of a mustard seed, that you have the ability still and yet today to move mountains. But we act like that's not possible. We stiff-necked in our shirts and ties, and we're sitting here, we're white-collar Christianity, and we act like if somebody says amen or hallelujah in the church, we're just going to pass out. I can't believe they would raise their hands. And are they charismatics? Are they Pentecostals? Why? Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that, man? He said, preach it, brother. But you know, when you've been down in despair, when you've been faithless in doubt, and you get a mountaintop. The charismatics, they be screaming before anything happened. You ever seen it? I told you, I've been to every VBS in the world. My parents tried to get rid of me. They would send me everywhere. I've been to them. They scream before the pastor ever gets up there. They're like, woo! Say it. He ain't said nothing yet. I would lose my mind if I came up here to preach and everybody was screaming and hollering, going crazy before I said anything. I feel like Arsenio Hall or somebody. I feel like I'd really done something, right? They screaming. But you know what I think? Some of it's just hooting and hollering and nonsense. I understand that. But some of it is they just are expecting that they're going to meet with God, and they got faith that God's going to do something. So they're already hollering before God's even got it done. Somebody ought to say something. I don't know. Sometimes I think Baptists, we need to stop being so stiff and so just sticky to our seat. And sometimes we just better come into this mountaintop experience on Sunday and Wednesday, not just saying, oh, it was a hard day, it was a hard week, not just looking to see our buddies, but expecting to have a mountaintop experience, knowing we got to go back out into the valley later on that day. Oh, if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Jesus didn't say that just as a figure. Jesus said that because it's true. When I was a little kid, I heard those verses, and I'd be looking at the hills of Ripley, Ohio, and I'd be like, I got faith, Lord. Let me see that mountain move. I got faith. And you know, I'd be sitting with my little cousins. We was dumb little kids. I'd be like, did you see it? I think it moved. I think it moved. Did you see it? It moved to the left. No, I thought I saw it move to the right. No, wait, let's do it again. Jesus, we believe. We have faith that we can move this mountain. Did you see it? I saw it. It jumped up and down. Now listen. I never moved a mountain with my faith. But I believe, not because of me, but because of my faith in God, I believe that my prayers have moved some mountains in people's lives before. I believe that faith has moved a mountain in this church. It was a molehill, and I believe faith has made it a mountain. I believe faith has made a mountain in our youth ministry where there was two or three kids and now there's 20, 25 kids. I think we're taking 25, 26 kids to camp. 3 years ago, we took four kids to camp. I believe that the Lord is working, that mountains are being moved in our children's ministry, that we got 40-some-odd kids over there this morning jumping around, popping no-dos, drinking Mountain Dew, ready to send them back to their parents. Praise God and hallelujah. And I got faith that you're going to take them home. Somebody said, amen. That's hanky waving preaching right there, Brother Randy. They ain't got to go home, but they can't stay here. You know what I'm talking about? I told my discipleship class this morning, I was telling Jaleesa yesterday, I'm starting to understand grandparents. I've been hard on grandparents my whole life. Why do my parents treat my kids better than they treat me? And now as my kids get older and as I get older, I'm starting to understand it. Wait a minute, I can play with these kids, feed these kids, sugar them all up, and I don't have any responsibilities. I ain't got to take them to the doctor. I ain't got to work on their homework. I ain't got to drive them here and there and everywhere. All I got to do is have them come over, have fun with them, and send them home. I think I like this grandparent thing. I think I get it now. I think I'm on my way. I'm just saying, we need to get to a point where it's not really a charismatic faith, it's a Bible-believing faith. It's believing God at his word, as faith is saying it so before it's so, because God says that it's so, and when we have that type of faith, we'll see things happen. See, when you meet Jesus, despair and doubt can go out the door if you really believe Jesus. You remember back in the story, the demoniac, the devilish spirit inside of the boy, when Jesus came up, he recognized Jesus. And so he says, I got to shake this boy one last time. I got to make one more last attempt. And Jesus says, get out of him and never come back. When Jesus fixes something, he fixes it forever. He don't do like I do and duct tape it up and just hope we can make it to the next exit. You know what I'm talking about. If you ain't never been there, you ain't never had enough despair and doubt, and you need to get some before you can have that kind of faith. When I was a teenager, if you know what I'm talking about, somebody said, glory, when my muffler fell off and I had the old wire hanger, had to tie that boy up in the school parking lot. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all been there in despair and doubt before. You've been riding around in your hoopty before, and you knew exactly what it was. Now I do it a little bit differently. I've moved up. I don't have to use wire hangers. The muffler falls off now. I've learned how to clamp that thing up. You know what I'm talking about? But when you get down in despair and doubt, if I just had two or three witnesses, I could close this thing out. I'm telling you. If I just had two or three people in here today that really got this, I could close this thing out, and you might get it today. Some of you are in despair today. Some of you are struggling. You say, there's no hope for this. It can't happen. It's impossible. This devilish spirit's been in here since I was a kid. These kids won't act right. They're disobedient. My spouse won't get right. My job can't get it. I can't get this thing fixed up the way it is. My house is a dump and there's no money to fix it up. There's nothing I can do. And some of you are in despair. You've lost all hope. And then when there's a glimmer of hope out of that mountain of despair, a stone of hope comes out, then you're saying, well, I doubt that hope is enough to fix the problem. Some of you are unbelieving and you need to cry, Lord, help mine unbelief. And you need to have a little talk with Jesus, a little debriefing today. See, when you meet the Jesus I know, He gets you singing them old songs. They ain't spiritual in nature, but they could have been about him. I was thinking about that old Dream Girl song. And when I met Jesus, I didn't want to go nowhere else. I just want to be with Jesus. I don't want nobody else. And I said, no, 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 no way. There's no way I'm living without you. I said, he's the best man I've ever known. And listen, and when you get really good in the song and you know there's no way I'm never going, no, I'm not leaving. And you say, I'm staying. And you, and you, and you, and you're going to love me. Yeah. I said, when you meet Jesus like I done met him, you already know. You don't want to go nowhere. You don't want to talk to nobody else. Let me debrief with Jesus, and Jesus is the faith factor that will fix all things. And when you have despair and when you have doubt, all you got to do is have a little talk with Jesus, debrief with Jesus, and Jesus will make a way, because God will make a way. Somebody said glory to God this morning. Oh, friend, I'm telling you this morning, God is able if you are able. God is willing if you are willing. God is here and he's on the throne. Will you kneel and bow and kiss the ring and say, God, I give it to you today. I ask you today, who is it in despair and doubt? Who is it today that says, God, I need you. There's nobody else that can fix this. I'm in despair. There's no other way. I'm in doubt. Help mine unbelief. Lord, today is the day. Let's get it solved. Let God make a way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, if you know that God is the only way and that he's able, he's asking you, are you able? Are you able to get out of your seat, bend the knee, and debrief right here at the altar with God? Are you able to come and say, God, I got some doubts. God, I'm in despair. But today, I come to King Jesus. Oh, friend, there's some of you in this room today that may not even know Jesus personally. You may not understand who he is. You may not get what's going on. But today, I want to make this really clear with you. I want to make this happen for you. I want to make it so clear that you get it today, that you can meet Jesus. And all that he asks is, if you're able to believe, he's able to save. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this room today and you say, Pastor Bryson, I'm not 100% sure that if I would die today, that I would wake up in heaven with Jesus. Today, I want to place my faith in Jesus. It might be a little faith today. You're not going to get all the faith you're ever going to have today. It might not be a grown-up 300-pound faith, but you can get you a little 10-pound weight today and start somewhere. Say, today I want to accept you as my Savior. Then I ask you to pray this today. If you believe that you're a sinner, you know you've made mistakes, you know that you're not perfect, but you believe that Jesus Christ came to die on Calvary's cross on a hill far away, on an old rugged cross. And when he did that, he killed your sin, and then he was buried. And when he was buried, he buried your sin that is never remembered ever again, according to the Bible. And the third day he arose. And he arose in newness of life bodily, so that you and I could have a newness of life when we are born again. When we are no longer born just of our mother and of our father in flesh, but we are born of the Spirit. And now we are a spiritual being, one who can be saved and enter into the gates of heaven, because God is a spirit and no one can worship God unless they worship him in spirit and in truth. Today, would you have your spiritual birth? If you say, that's me today, I need to be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He included everybody in the words, whosoever. And if you're able today to believe, then your name could fit there and you can be saved. If that's you today, as the music begins to play, I simply ask you to do this. In the silence of this room, nobody moving around, everyone quiet, I ask you to answer the question in a prayer. The prayer will not save you, but the faith, the belief upon this prayer will save you. If you want that today, say this in your heart and in your mind. You don't have to say it out loud. The Holy Spirit of God is reigning and can hear you, saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and that I need to be saved. I know there is no other way but the blood of Jesus and his cross to pay for my sins. Lord, come into my heart. Help me now to live for you and help mine unbelief. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer today, if that's you, you say, Pastor Bryson, I prayed that prayer today and I believed it. Prayed it in faith. Oh, the prayer is not going to save you. What you believe about that prayer certainly will. If that's you today, on my left, your right, my left, your right, if you prayed that prayer, you really meant it today. You really understood it. Maybe you've prayed it before, but you got it for the first time today and understood it. Would you just raise your eyes to me that I can see your eyes? I'm not going to come to your seat. I just want to see that you prayed that prayer so that I know I see that. Thank you. Anybody else like that? Yeah, I see that. Thank you. What about on my right-hand side, your left? My right, your left. Yep. My right, your left. Just raise your eyes to me casually. I'm not going to say anything or come to your seat. My right, your left. Yeah, brother, I prayed that prayer today. Yep. Oh, we have some today that prayed this prayer who accepted you as Savior from their profession. But now we ask for a boldness. And they say, I don't have enough faith to stand up and announce it to the church that I just got saved. But then right now you start praying, Lord, help mine unbelief. Start praying, help my despair, help my doubt. Help me to get up. Help me to go have a debriefing with the pastor and the assistant pastors. And we've got ladies in here who would help you. If you're a lady, help me go have a debriefing with them so we can get this thing right so I can see that God is able. Today maybe it's church membership. We had one join during Sunday school today, praise God. No constitutional rules against that. We're thankful for that today. Maybe you say, I want to come and join Assurance Baptist Church. Maybe you've been teeter-tottering and you know you need to make a public stand. You've been saved, but you never came forward and said, I got saved and I want to be baptized. We got two about to be baptized. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're just in doubt and despair and you need to come pray. Maybe you just want to come have a talk with Jesus, have a debriefing. Whatever it is today, you come. As Brother Chuck sings the first note, don't delay. God, have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Please stand and join in singing, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations close the power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need
All right. Well, it's been a great day in the Lord's house, hasn't it? If you guys didn't get a bulletin on your way in, you'll be sure to want to grab one on the way out or snag a picture of the one that's hung up. We got a bunch of announcements for you this morning. The first one we have is this afternoon at 4 p.m. is the baby shower for Sophie McInerney. So that's today at 4 p.m. So all the ladies are invited to that. They did request that no children under the sixth grade. Then ladies, there's also a ladies meeting Tuesday, June 13th at 6:30. Sister Wilma Bowles will be doing the devotion there, and they just asked that you bring a snack to share. We have a new family fellowship coming up at the end of the month, June 25th, after the morning for service. So any family that's new to ABC or have been visiting and have questions about potentially joining, you're invited to come and hear about our history, what's going on now, and our goals for the future. So we'd invite you out to that. Wednesday night, June 14th, coming up is our Awana Awards night. So as Awana has came to an end, we're going to have our awards ceremony where all the kids will get their awards for their accomplishments throughout the year. The last one we have here is the Fuel Camp. We want to make sure if you're not registered yet, then you need to call about it today. So teens, if you still need to sign up for camp, see Brother Brandon about that this morning. The other thing we have is Saturday, June 9th, is our Awana Derby. I believe it's the first one we've done, Brandon, or the second one? I think it's the first one. So we have our Awana Derby. So that'll be Saturday at 9 a.m. Then Brother Jeremy is going to host a workshop Thursday night at 6 o'clock. And so if you have kids in Awana and you don't have the tools or the know-how to build a derby car, he's going to set up here and he'll help you build their derby car and paint it and all that. So that'll be Thursday at 6. And then the last one also, Thursday, June 15th at 6:30, we'll be resuming our grow. So we took a break after the week of EBS because after being here all week, everybody needed to rest on Thursday. But we're going to pick that back up the 15th, and we're going to actually be canvassing in Englewood for the first time this year. So we'd encourage you guys to all be there for that. Brother Chuck? Oh, we got to pray for offering. Thank you. About forgot. So if I have the guys come, we'll pray for the offering this morning. And then after the offering, Brother Chuck will come and sing us out. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity, God, to come into your house to study your word, Lord, and hear the preaching. We pray that we would have been convicted by your word, God, that we would apply it to our lives. We praise you for the work you did this morning, Lord, with those that profess that they accepted you as their Savior this morning and those that joined the church. We praise you for that. We pray for the offering, that you would bless both the gift and the giver, that you'd use the offering to further your work here at Assurance Baptist Church and in the greater Dayton area. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.